Are you a teenager wondering why on earth your mom wants you to read books decades or centuries old? Or maybe you're a mom and you wonder if you should have your teenagers read classics. Stay tuned. We're going to talk about 7 benefits of reading classics today.
Welcome to Finish Well Radio, where changing the world starts with changing the home, with your host, Meredith Curtis.
Hi, I'm Meredith Curtis. Welcome to Finish Well Radio. I grew up surrounded by bookophiles. Book lovers. My mom was a librarian, and she would gather up all the books that they were going to throw out because they were too outdated, and she would bring them home, and we had shelves and shelves of books, and my dad loved to read. He started reading the newspaper when he was 6, and every day had a cup of coffee, and he read the newspaper, and he loved to read westerns. My mom loved to read mysteries, and she passed that on to me and to my sister. And we just grew up in a family where we read magazines and books and newspapers, and we enjoyed reading. And my mom, it was a history buff. She majored in history in college, and so she loved historical fiction, and she bought tons of historical fiction for me. And I loved reading her old books, like her old Nancy Drew books that had Nancy in 40s style clothing. It was so cool. Or her old Little Women with her name in it. I grew up from my mom and dad just loving books, appreciating them, loving to read, and finding myself lost in adventures between the pages of a book. And so that's kind of how I grew up. And when I was in college, I looked around at all the books I'd read, and I'd read a lot of very good books. And I thought, wow, what are some books I haven't read yet? And so I made a list of classics that I wanted to read. Some books we just never had to read in high school, or I tried to read them, but they were kind of boring, like Moby Dick or The Old Man and the Sea. The Old Man and the Sea I did have to read in high school, but I found it a little boring. And there were books that I'd never read, War and Peace or The Brothers Karamazov. I don't even know how to pronounce all those Russian names. And so there were books I had never read, but I heard about them and I wanted to read them. So I made this list of classics, and I was able to read most of them except for the Russian ones by the time I graduated from college. And then when I was pregnant, I got really sick for 3 months every pregnancy. And so during that time, I read tons of books because I couldn't lift my head off a pillow, and I managed to read all the Russian classics during that time. So that's kind of my background. I've read classics. Like I said, I love mysteries, so I love Agatha Christie, and I love some modern mystery writers like Joanne Fluke and Mary Higgins Clark. So I've read a lot of books in my day and time. I've read modern books and old books. I love Frank Peretti. And so I am here to talk to you today about classics and why you would on earth want to read classics. So one of the things that I have found as I taught my own children and I've learned is that when I grew up, I learned history with the history textbook, and it was boring and it had dry, dull facts, and it would talk about books. Like it would say, you know, when Harriet Beecher Stowe wrote Uncle Tom's Cabin, this is how history textbooks talk, by the way. When Harriet Beecher Stowe wrote Uncle Tom's Cabin, this is what she said, and this is how it impacted the country. And I was like, okay, boring, move on. And then when I was teaching my children history, I actually pulled the book out and we all read it, and I went, wow, no wonder this book changed history. It's amazing. It is full of characters that you fall in love with or you hate or you want to see them put in their place. It's full of real adventures, and it takes you back into a different time and a different place. And no wonder when Abraham Lincoln met short little Harriet Beecher Stowe, he said, "So you're the woman that caused this great war." Great meaning terrible. what a difference to read a paragraph in a textbook and to read the actual book. And so once I had that experience, I thought, no way, we are not learning history with dry, boring textbooks. We're going to read these books that change the world. And that kind of started us off on an adventure of not only having my children read classics, but actually reading classics to learn about history and about science and things like that. One of the things that is a great benefit, which we'll talk about later because I'm not running through the seven benefits yet, but I just want you to know kind of my background and how I came to fall in love with classics. And one of the things I found out right away when I would say, okay, books that were written for children in the 1800s, The Merry Adventures of Robin Hood. Wow. Pick it up, read it. Most adults might have some trouble reading this book. No, not all adults. Of course, you could read it. But the books that were written in the 1800s for children and the early 1900s for children are written at a much more advanced level. And so, of course, when you go to the classics and you read things like Paradise Lost and Paradise Found, most people start reading and they go, wah, wah, wah. Wah, 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 wah. And yet it is an amazing piece of literature. So we're going to talk a little about that. And first of all, before I go on, what is a classic? A classic is a book that has stood the test of time. So throughout the ages, it might have been written by an ancient Roman historian, like The Lives by Plutarch, but it's still picked up and read today. And so that's kind of what we're talking about when we talk about classics. So we can go all the way back to Genesis, which was written at the beginning of time and passed on. And then Adam started it, and then Seth added to it, and Abraham added to it. And then it goes to Moses and he edits it. And so that's a classic, classic, classic. And then we have a lot of the Greek classics, the Greek classic plays, and the Roman classics, and I mentioned Plutarch's Lives, the Peloponnesian Wars, and different things like that. Like, we have history books, we have plays, we have poetry, and they go back a long time. Of course, there's also things like Beowulf, which is an ancient Anglo-Saxon tale written by an Englishman. I can't figure that out. So the Angles in England wrote this old Viking tale. But anyway, it's pretty cool, and it's about a king who conquers a dinosaur, so Grendel, and Grendel's mama, who's really mad when Grendel's killed. These are all classics. Then we have Paradise Lost, Paradise Found, which I mentioned. We have Robinson Crusoe. We have, then moving on, things like Treasure Island, and just so many classics. And some were written for children, some were written for adults, but I find that a lot of times teenagers are at the reading level finally in high school to read some of these books that were written for children, especially like Howard Pyle wrote a lot of great children's books, really well written. So one of the things when I say classics, I mean a book that it captures the human experience in a way where even though I live in a different time and place, I still get it. I still understand it. And I want to read it and I want to get lost in the story. And one of the things that I have loved about teaching literature is that so many teens, they kind of might join one of my classes and they've never read a classic. And so I remember one boy that joined our class and we were taking American literature, and we read, of course, classics in our American literature class. We just start where kind of American history starts. And so the book we start with is Plymouth Plantation by William Bradford, and that's his history of the Plymouth Plantation and all that stuff. And so, of course, remember what I said, books that are older, they're harder to read because books have been so dumbed down in the last 50, 60 years. So just a normal 16-year-old reads at about a third grade level, but that third grade level would be even lower if we went back in time. So when books are published by main house publishing companies, they're published at a very low level because the average American isn't well read like our founding fathers were well read, or the Victorians were well read. So it's just a different time. So back to my story. So we start this class, And we are reading Plymouth Plantation. And so his mom comes to me and she's like, oh my goodness, my son, he can't read. And I just, please just don't make him read these things and blow. And I'm like, well, why don't you let him try and see if he likes it? So this is what happens. Oh my goodness. So, you know, there's modern translations of Plymouth Plantation, but he got a hold of the original version with all the these and thous. And I don't know if you've ever read anything from the Age of Reason, which is like the 1600s, you see that all the S's are F's. And so you're like, oh my goodness, what does this word mean? And, you know, to cross would be cruff. And so you're like, oh my goodness, what is this? And so it's really hard reading for just me. Like, I have trouble reading that. And so here's this kid. He hates to read. He's miserable. And he gets this old, old copy and he plunges through it. He's like, I did it. And I said, oh my goodness, if you can read that, you can read every other book, because you didn't read an updated version of it. You read the old, 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 old Age of Reason English. So it was really funny. So he continues on through this class, and we're reading books like The Scarlet Letter. We're reading a true to life adventure about Mary Rawlinson when she gets kidnapped by King Philip and his Indians in the King Philip's War early in colonial America. And so all this stuff, right? You know, he's reading, and we're reading Mark Twain, and we're reading Washington Irving, and we're reading all these different people. And he is loving it. And we're ending the year. And all of a sudden, my student that, oh, he just can't read. Poor thing. He loves to read. And he's a great reader. And he's enjoying reading. And why? Because he's introduced to some timeless stories. And also, there's something happening to his brain as he's reading these older books. And so what is happening to his brain? Well, we're going to talk about that, because now I'm going to just tell you what are the 7 benefits of reading classics. And the first benefit is that reading classics will make you smarter and strengthen your ability to think and make logical conclusions. Reading a classic book is like a brain workout, especially if your normal diet is modern books, modern works like there, you know, you're basically reading at about a third grade level, fourth grade maybe. And so you pull out an old book and it's going to, your brain's going to go, oh yeah, yeah. And, but then once it gets settled in and starts reading the book, it's going to get excited because it's going to be captured by the story. But then your brain's going to have to build all these pathways to be able to comprehend and understand what you're reading. And so you're actually, yes, you're getting smarter. There's actually a physical change in your brain. And when you read a classic, you flex your brain muscles and you improve your comprehension. So the first thing about reading, I don't know how, I've never understood, like I'll just say to people, I don't know why this works, but reading good literature changes children. It changes adults. I had a homeschool mom and she didn't like to teach. And I said to her, she said, what should I do? And I prayed and I felt like the Lord said, encourage her to read good literature. So I said, hey, what kind of literature have you read? And she told me, and I said, well, here's a list of classic literature. It's just literature that I grew up reading. It's like Little Women, H.G. Wells, Arthur Conan Doyle, Charles Dickens, and just different authors that are really outstanding. And so she started reading these classic books, and all of a sudden she became a reader, and she loved to read, and she loved to teach her kids, and she loved to study. And so what happened? She's just reading these stories, these classic stories, but somehow it was impacting her brain. And, you know, it's kind of like someone doesn't love to go run a mile if they'd never run at all. But if they're a runner and then you say, hey, go run a mile. Oh, okay. That'll be fun. It's so pretty. The hills, you know, blah, blah, blah. But so literature, reading good literature, reading classic books, it gets your brain working in the way that it's able to work. Sometimes you don't know. You think, oh, I'm not that smart. I just struggle with everything. Well, read classic books. And I'm not kidding. Within a year, your brain will be working differently and you will be seeing it in other subjects as well. So I don't know how it works, but I know that it works. So the first benefit of reading classes is that it will make you smarter. And the second benefit of reading classics is that it will improve your vocabulary. It will expose you to a richer, more intellectual vocabulary. So one of the things about classics, when you pick up a classic and read it, today's books, full of action, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, change scenes, da-da-da-da-da-da, more action, then more action, then more action, very little description. Now you pick up a classic and you're going to read pages of description. You're going to read pages of conversation, and not conversation like, well, what? Yeah. Oh, okay. No, you're going to read conversation. Then you are also going to see characters being developed more in classic books than modern literature. Now, are there good books written today? Yes, absolutely. But they're not bestsellers because the American public cries out for something simplistic, and the American attention span with technology and everything is very short. So books are written to have short scenes. You go from scene to scene to scene, action, action, action. And you pick up a book like The Three Musketeers, you're going to have tons of action, but you're also going to have description. You're also going to have character development. So just a different world. As exciting, yes, but you're definitely going to increase your vocabulary. You're also going to see how words are used in the past that have come to have different meanings today. So that's kind of interesting as well. You want to increase your vocabulary. Two authors I read, both of them lived actually in the 20th century. One is G.K. Chesterton, and he writes Father Brown mysteries. But more than that, he writes like The Man Tuesday, Everlasting Man, just different books. He writes books about God. He writes books about social things going on. He lived in the early century. And interestingly, he and the Pope were the only two people who stood up against eugenics. Eugenics is kind of survival of the fittest, applying evolution to who should have babies and who shouldn't. And Hitler and Mussolini took eugenics, of course, to the full extent. They believed they were going to each produce the super race. Hitler even took it further than Mussolini. But G.K. Chesterton stood up in his writings against eugenics in the early 20th century. Very intellectual man. Another writer who is an editorialist, and his name was William F. Buckley. And I remember when I started reading his editorials in high school, I was like, oh my word, what is this guy saying? I don't even understand it. I have to grab a dictionary and look up his words. And another just very intellectual, he's kind of sarcastic. He has a lot of humor, but maybe not necessarily the humor you would appreciate. So some of us appreciate sarcasm and some of us don't. So I don't know what you are, but he's a very, very, very good writer and definitely increase your vocabulary. But any classic book will increase your vocabulary because there's a lot more word usage. There's a lot more descriptive language, so it lends itself to having more words that you may not have ever heard of. Third benefit is that reading classics will increase your attention span. Blogs are short. I remember when I started blogging, this woman put together this kind of online magazine, and I was supposed to blog, and I had to limit my blogs to 1,500 words. Now they're saying that a good blog, yeah, 500 to 700 words. So why? That's just in like less than 10 years. And now our attention span, because our attention span is so short, commercials are shorter. You want to go on YouTube and look up some commercials from 20 years ago. They're longer. Interesting, isn't it? But our attention span is shorter. Movie scenes are shorter. We have trained our brain to focus for just a little while. One of the reasons I never let my children watch Sesame Street is because it was so quick. So it would be one thing, then another, then another, then another, then another. And I did not want to train my children to have a short attention span. Nothing against Sesame Street, PBS. Please do not be offended. But I just wanted to train my children to have a long attention span. So if you watch a lot of TV, play video games, watch movies, you're going to cultivate a short attention span. And so reading classics, sitting down and reading for an hour or two a day, classic books, you're going to lengthen your attention span, which honestly is going to help you with all of life because it will help you focus on whatever work you do. It will help you focus on conversations, focus on people. That's so missing in our day, isn't it? It's hard sometimes to have a conversation. You know, you're talking to someone, all of a sudden they're looking at their phone and you think, oh, I'm so boring. It's just that attention spans are shorter. So the fourth benefit is that reading classic books will help you understand literary references that used to go over your head. When you hear, it was the best of times, it was the worst of times, you won't say, oh, wow, that's so poetic. How did he come up with that? You'll say, no, that was Charles Dickens at the beginning of A Tale of Two Cities. And you'll laugh, you know, and you'll say, yeah, it is. Yeah, he's quoting Charles Dickens. Oh, he's pretty well read. Or you might hear someone say, oh, what a tangled web we weave when first we practice to deceive. And then you won't say, oh, wow, that's so cool. You'll say, oh, wow, he's quoting Shakespeare, and you'll know where those things are coming from. So things won't just fly over your head. You'll actually know where they're coming from. So that's kind of fun. We're going to take a quick break from our sponsor, and then we will be right back.
Hi, I'm Laura. I had the privilege of meeting Meredith Curtis when my oldest boys were very young, when they were in third and first grades, and she recommended that I improve my homeschooling by reading classic literature. I took the advice and was amazed at the results. Later, as they approached high school and she offered to let us use her high school literature and writing classes, I jumped at the opportunity and was glad I did. Now, Powerline Productions has made those classes available to you. With titles like British Literature and Writing, which includes some of my favorite classic literature, American Literature and Research, where students learn how to write a research paper, and the perennial favorite, Who Done It, Murder Mystery Literature and Writing class, where students actually learn the art of writing their own murder mystery, and more. There's plenty to choose from. For more information, visit powerlineprod.com. That's powerlineprod.com. Powerline Productions. Being world changers, raising world changers.
You've been listening to Finish Well Radio on the Ultimate Radio Network. Now back to your host, Meredith Curtis.
Welcome back. We are talking about the seven benefits of reading classics. And the first thing that we saw was that reading classics will actually make you smarter. Reading classics will improve your vocabulary. That's number two. Number three was that reading classes will increase your attention span. And finally, number four we went over was that reading classic books will help you understand literary references that used to go over your head. So let's keep moving on. We have three more. Number five, reading classes will help you have a deeper understanding of history with its cultural context, beliefs, and values. Even historical fiction often puts the values of today into the stories set in yesterday. So I'm reading a historical fiction book, and the woman is doing something or saying something or moving in a way that she just would not have in that day and time, or the farmer is maybe saying something, or they're behaving in a way that wasn't the way people talked, behaved, and acted in that time. And a really good example of that is I read so many pioneer books or colonial times books and things like that. They never mention church. Now, you go back to those times, people went to church to write a historical fiction book and not have anyone go to church. It's just not accurate. That's just one little thing, but you can kind of get what I mean. There were different values in that times. It's very hard to not impose our values of today into that time period. Now, I love historical fiction. I could do a whole radio show on historical fiction. But that's why it's so much better to read something actually written in the time period to get a real feel for what that time period is like. That's what I love to do. That's why I love to read older stories, older literature, as we're going through American history. It just gives you such a fresh, different understanding of what life was like in those times. I love to read letters and different things like that, but so exciting. Number six, reading classic literature and classic books will develop your character and compassion. Time may change, but human nature and the problems people face don't change. There is nothing new under the sun. So when you identify with people from different times and places, it will stretch your heart. And I know that may sound a little deep, but I don't mean it to. I mean it in a really practical way, because sometimes we can look at the past and we can make judgments about people for good or bad, but not truly understand their hearts, not truly understand that throughout time and history, people are flawed. There was one perfect person, that was Jesus, but all the rest of us were flawed. We have our good points and our bads. Now, there are some people that I would say, wow, is there anything good in Hitler? I don't know. Is there anything good in Stalin? I don't know. But besides some really, really evil people and some people that seem exceptionally good, even the exceptionally good people had flaws. But definitely the rest of us are flawed. And you'll see someone do something amazing in history, but yet have a backside. And so when we read about different time periods, when we read a story and it captures our heart, it makes us become more compassionate, more sympathetic, more empathetic. And those things make a difference, honestly, in our relationships. They really do. Reading classic literature and classic books will bring joy to your life. Everybody loves a good story. Everybody loves an intellectual challenge. Whether you're reading literature or living books, there is nothing like the pleasure of a good book. And, you know, that's the truth. There is something about reading. It stimulates your mind. One time, I'll just confess, I am a nerd. And one of the things I'll do, like I'll hear about something and I'll say, oh, I want to learn more about him. So I heard about Captain James Cook. He discovered the Hawaiian Islands and different places. Then he called them the Sandwich Islands. But so I buy his diary, right? And I'm reading his diary. And I'm like, oh, wow. You know, I forget because, you know, maybe I haven't read like an older book in a while. My brain is getting a little mushy. So I'm like, okay, I got to get into the time period. You know, this is a little bit harder to read, but so fascinating, you know, and I'm reading what he writes and what he says and where they go and his perspective. And it was really, really cool. I just got such a different perspective of him by reading his journals. And then another thing I got interested in was Edmund Burke, because Edmund Burke, of course, was a British lawyer judge. He was a member of parliament, an MP. If you ever hear MP about someone British, that means they're a member of parliament. I never got that. What's an MP? Is that like a policeman? No, member of parliament. So he's a member of parliament during the American Revolution and the French Revolution. So he would defend the colonists. He would say, yeah, we can't tax them. They're not represented, blah, 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 blah. So he wrote a book comparing the American Revolution to the French Revolution. Very, very, very good book. Heavy book. Not easy for someone like me in the 21st century to read, but very much worth the time. And anyway, so it was really an intellectual challenge for me to understand some of the things he was saying, some of the things he was getting at, but I really, really appreciated it. And I was like, oh, this is so fun. I love this. That's how I feel when I read good literature. I love to get away in a story. It might be a story about Ivanhoe, or it might be Robin Hood and his Merry Men. It might be Picking Up Little Women from my childhood days and reading that again. But whatever book it is, one of my favorite books is The House of Seven Gables by Nathaniel Hawthorne. And it's kind of like a a darker book. Like, his books tend to be darker. They're not light and happy. Like, Mark Twain's books are so fun. They're so lighthearted more to me. I just love to read different authors and plunge into their world and read more about them. C.S. Lewis, one of my favorite authors, and of course the Chronicles of Narnia, so amazing, the story that he created, and yet there it is set in World War II. And why are they in the country? Because bombs are going off in London. And I just, wow, that's just makes the whole story come alive too when you think about the historical context, but that is not what we're talking about. My point is that there's nothing like a good book, and it definitely impacts your character and definitely makes you smarter and increases your vocabulary and increases your attention span and makes your future academic studies much easier and helps you understand the cultural context. So I heartily, heartily, heartily recommend reading classic books. So now you're asking me, okay, I'm convinced, I want to read classic books. Where do I get them? Well, have I got a list for you. So if you go to my website, joyfulandsuccessfulhomeschooling.com, you can also reach the same website with jshomeschooling.com. And if you go to that website and look under the books category, you'll find a page that says free reading list. All of those you can download. It's our most popular page ever. We've had that page for years. We just updated it about a year ago. Like I said, it's free reading list every age. And I have so many homeschool moms tell me they keep that as a favorite. And so that if they suddenly find themselves they're at a garage sale and there's books for sale or they're in a used bookstore, they just pull out their phone, they go to that page because it's bookmarked, and then they just look on the list to see, to help them figure out what to look for. So many book lists on that page are for classic books. So I think you'll really enjoy it. You'll be able to find those kind of classics that you're looking for. What if the classics are too hard? So what if you pick up Ivanhoe and you're like, oh my goodness, my brain just exploded. I can't read this. Then I would encourage you just go back in time a little. Maybe pick up the children's classic literature list and read some of the books that are on there. Start with them and then build up to the harder classics, because really most books published for adults, I'm not talking about children's books, I'm not talking about teenage books, most books written for adults in our day and time are written at a much younger level than books that were written for children in the 1800s. So you may have to build up to read the harder books. Where can I get classic books? So I have on that same website, joyfulandsuccessfulhomeschooling.com or jshomeschooling.com, I also have a page called Free Classic Books. There's just a few on there now, but we're always going to be adding classic books that they're just download them. They're yours. Take them, enjoy, be blessed. And one of the things that I often do is I go to Gutenberg. You can download free classic books there. You can go to the Library of Congress and you can read books online. I don't know if you can download the Library of Congress books. I know that you can read a lot of classics online there. So that would be something you could find out. Amazon has tons of free classic books for your Kindle. I have got at least 100 classic books that I downloaded for free from Amazon. So if you have a Kindle, that's a great place to find those books. You can also download free ebooks for your Nook reader from Barnes & Noble. And I have links to all these things. If you go to the show notes, this is episode number 60, and it's the 7 benefits of reading classics on Finish Well Radio. And so you can just go to the show notes, read the show notes, and there's links to all these things I just mentioned there. So we have curriculum, Powerline Productions. We have curriculum that uses classic books. We use classic books for our high school curriculum. So not only are, you know, American Literature and Research, British Literature, Communication, Whodunit, all of those books use classic literature, of course, foundations of Western literature, but our economics class uses some classics in that. We read Wealth of the Nations, we read Communist Manifesto. So if you're looking for curriculum with classic books, go to powerlineprod.com, and that's powerlineprod.com. So anyway, those are places you can go to get classic books. I just encourage you, go have fun, read these books, and allow the benefits to bless your life. And until next time, God bless you. Thank you so much for listening.
Thank you for listening to Finish Well Radio with Meredith Curtis and the Finish Well team. Please listen in every first Monday of each month at 7 p.m. Eastern Time here at the Ultimate Radio Network.